what I chose for us to discuss this morning, being that we just went through Thanksgiving, that's why I wanted to talk about being thankful. I'm sure we all have something to be thankful for, as it's nothing else than just to see another day. But with me, and I guess this is just my opinion, I'm glad that we have a day set aside for Thanksgiving to help the rest of the world focus on the goodness of God, because it seems like most people don't take the time to be thankful for nothing at all, because it gets so caught up in the hustle and bustle of what's going on. And even us sometimes as Christians, we pray to God for stuff, and we ask God to do this, do that, and then we don't give him thanks after he grants us what we want. I'm guilty of it, and I'm sure at some time or another you all have been. From 1 Thessalonians, and by the way, feel free to jump in with comments at any time, because I know I'm not that good of a teacher. At 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul encourages us in saying, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God and Jesus Christ for you." I like to think of an example that I know James has used a couple of times about a man that was hammering the nail and messing around and hit his finger, and he said, "Thank you, Lord." And people, or whoever was random at the time, asked him, you just hit your finger. He said, "Thank you, Lord." "Why you said thank you, Lord?" He said, "Because it could have been broke." So at all times, we should give thanks. But sometimes when we're going through rough situations, we call it a storm, or we're facing adversity, or things are definitely not going our way, if we don't think about giving thanks for the situation, not thinking that it could be worse, all we're looking at is what's happening right then, and that's what's the utmost. Of course, the devil has a lot to do with that, but we have to try to keep in mind that whatever happens, God is in control, and he will bring us through it, even at the worst of times. We should give thanks and praise because we are brought into harmony and coexistence to God through Jesus Christ and for his sake. That's why God allowed Christ to come on this earth for our sake, to help us and to redeem us. And as I said, we can think of a lot of things of why we should be thankful. But I have a few that I wanted to throw out to you all to consider the little things. Sometimes you say to people, "Good morning," and they might respond with, "Oh, what's good about it?" There's a whole lot good about it, even though it may be a blizzard outside. The fact that you allowed to be alive to see it is something to be thankful for. But as I said, at the time we don't consider the little things or what's behind it. We're just looking at what's confronting us right then and right there. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, it tells us of Christ's reason to redeem us, and through him how we are to be redeemed, what he went through to come to this earth to redeem us, to give his life. That in itself is something to be thankful for. You can check these scriptures out a little bit later. I'm just throwing them out to you. James chapter 1, verse 17 to 18, loving God under trials, as I before mentioned, when we're going through a storm, we're not looking at the fact that we are going through it and it's going to make us better. And we see the benefit that God is putting on us by allowing us to go through it. It could be the fact that I'm trying to think of one of the most hardest storms to go through is the loss of a loved one. At that time, we're grieving so hard that we don't see nothing but just the grief. But if we consider the fact that God has taken that loved one home and given them, we always say, dead in a better place. Stop to think of the blessing of them being in a better place instead of being here, going through the suffering and the turmoil that they were going through. And from John chapter 3, verses 27 to 28, how John exhorts Christ when he was with disciples at that time. And they were asking John, you want us to pray for fire and brimstone to come down on this man Jesus because he was out there preaching the gospel and baptizing. And they thought that it was something wrong because they only knew about John preaching the gospel and baptizing. And they thought he was against them. But he had to show them that his job was to lay the foundation and Christ's job was to come after him, which all they were looking at, as I said, was somebody else out there doing what you're doing. We need to remove him. They're not understanding that it's a blessing that Christ is coming after him and what benefit he was going to have for everybody, because John couldn't do that. So, as I said, my point is sometimes we need to try to consider the little things and what to be thankful for in situations, and don't just take it at face value of what's happening. It is so bad because God has a purpose for everything, even though we may not see it at that time. And as I said, I had a few examples of what I wanted to throw out. And these are some things that we may consider, and I'm sure you probably may consider a few after hearing these. You may come up with a few examples of your own. And as I said, feel free to throw them in at any time. That we don't see the little things, we don't look at what's behind it. We just look at what's happening right there and may not see why we should be thankful or see the fullness of the situation of what's happening. The first one I have is for the teenager who is washing dishes and watching TV, because that means that he or she is at home and not on the street. Mm-hmm. If you have a teenager, that may hit home, a nephew, a niece, someone in your family that's younger, immature. If you've ever wondered where they were during a time when you knew that they should have been someplace that they weren't, you would realize it was a blessing, and you would have thankfulness in your heart to know that right now you know where they are and you know that they're safe instead of wondering where they are and what's going on. For the taxes that I pay, because it means that I am employed. Many times, I've done it. It's like the man on the commercial, got to make the donuts, got to pay these taxes. And my man, I got to scrape up some money from somewhere, pay these taxes. I never considered the fact that, where are you going to scrape the money up from? You're working. Even if you had to rob Peter to pay Paul, as the saying goes, you have a source or a means to take care of the problem at hand. Didn't God bless you to be able to do that instead of wondering or sitting there and just, I don't know what I'm going to do. There's a blessing, but we don't see it at the time because the devil is on that screen, you know, this is urgent. You got to take care of this and don't think about what's happening behind it. Another reason to be thankful for the mess to clean up after a church luncheon, because it means that I have been surrounded by Christian friends. Man, I love my Christian brothers and sisters. But when it comes to clean up, man, he got crumbs all under the table. He done spilt drink all over everywhere. I don't think about my Christian brothers and sisters. All I'm thinking about, I'm the one that got to clean this up. But isn't that a blessing that God used you to do his work? But we take the spotlight off of what God wants and we shine it on us. That's a human trait. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes. I'm not trying to point nobody out. I'm not trying to criticize or say anything to upset you, because I like to always think, and hopefully I am, any lesson that I present, it applies to me first before it applies to any of you. And I want to try to portray what this word of the Lord says in this book that still applies to us today. Not so much as, well, that happened back then. But it's still happening today. If you but look and see, you can identify with it. What, not everything that's on this sheet going to apply to me, but some things do hit home with me first. And in any lesson that I give, I like to feel like it comes to me before it comes to you. So I can identify with it. And I'm not talking about what you all do. I use myself as an example because it strikes me first. But I need to think of it. As I said, some of these things definitely have hit me. But it's just a point of learning what this represents, learning from what has already happened. It's for our learning. And if we can uplift each other and give experiences of what has happened to each other, that also is a form of learning. For the clothes that fit a little too snug, because it means I have enough to eat. God knows I have enough to eat. But I'm thankful. I'm very thankful. Because too many times I can look at people on television, wherever they may be at, and they are asking to give money to support them, and they're having a little rougher time than I am. But then I don't have to just turn on the television. I can just go to a grocery store or just get in the car, just ride up and down the street. I'm going to see somebody that's a little bit worse off than I am. Somebody that may need something to eat. If I be out there long enough, somebody's going to come to me, hey, buddy, can you spare a couple of dollars? Or can you spare some change? Can you? And it's not for me to decide whether or not they really want something to eat or not. If I have it in my pocket, my job is to give it. Because I have done what the Lord wants me to do, reach out. I trust in the Lord that he's going to handle it, because I can't tell whether he's telling the truth or whether he's lying, but God knows. And whatever I give, I gave from the heart. And from that point on, it's in God's hands. For my shadow that watches me work. Because it means I am out in the sunshine. 90 degrees. Oh, Lord, it's so hot. The sun is beating down. I'm out here cutting grass, and I'm sweating. And every few minutes, I got to stop and take a break. because I'm so hot. That's all I'm thinking about. I'm complaining. But it's a blessing because I'm in the sunshine. I can walk in the hospital and there's people laying in the bed. All they can do is look out the window and see the sun. It would long to be out there to feel the warmth on their body. But I'm out here sweating. That's all I'm thinking about, how hot I am. I'm not counting my blessings. I'm criticizing. But it's a human thing. For a lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, and gutters that need fixing, because it means I have a home. Christ told his disciples he had nowhere to lay his head. Yes.
I was going to say, all these things you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
you don't realize it, but until after you can no longer do these things, and then you realize how blessed you really was to be able to do mm-hmm. those chores. For example, mowing the grass. That used to be my Zen moment.
Mm-hmm.
Being out there mowing grass, no thoughts in my brain, just me and the lawnmower. When I couldn't do it anymore, I realized how really blessed I was to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Sweat and all, you know. The little things that we look at as chores,
okay.
That's really a blessing because we were able to do those chores. Helping in the kitchen when we had fellowship meals.
Mm-hmm.
I used to enjoy washing the dishes, do whatever I could. And I didn't realize how much I really enjoyed it until I could no longer do that. And then you realize how blessed you really are to be able to have a body that functions to do all these things.
Mm-hmm. I identify. If from what you're saying, I think you sound a little like me, that when I couldn't cut grass, other people that cut it couldn't cut it like I did.
Yeah.
You know, they couldn't do as good a job as me. They were like, hey, look at him, he's just messing it up.
You're doing the same way I do it.
Yep. But I identify. But it comes to you once you can't do it.
And you see other people. You realize.
Yeah. Okay. For all the complaining I hear about the government, because it means that we have freedom of speech. I haven't experienced a time where you couldn't say what you wanted to say and talk about what you wanted to talk about freely.
You get on Facebook sometimes.
But that's freedom of speech.
Yeah.
And you definitely have an opposing opinion there,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, of course, nobody's going to like it. You can't please everybody all the time, you know. We know that. But still, you would think that some people would go along with you. But to be able to be in public and say something that you oppose or don't like, and they say, you know, here comes somebody cutting you off to jail, I haven't experienced that. I hope I don't live long enough to experience that. I don't know how I can handle that, I think. And we read about, or we've seen, I know I've seen pictures of it in movies and whatnot. In a time, in Roman times specifically, you better not say nothing about Caesar, because you're definitely going to jail. I don't hear you talk about it. And, I look at other movies, some of it was comical, but I looked at one not long ago. If you said something that people didn't like or didn't sound good, they would label you a witch and spank you up. Nothing you could do about it, nothing you could do about it. I mean, that's a difference of an opinion. So to have freedom of speech, you know, it's wonderful. You know, but as you said, to be without it, then you would miss it. No one had to get to that point to be without it before I realized how good it is. For the parking spot that I find at the far end of the parking lot, because it means I am capable of walking and that I have been blessed with transportation. Go to right over here, the food line. When the weatherman says it's going to snow, you're going to get a parking space if you're lucky, or in the parking lot. And when you go in the store, oh man, it's like you got to fight to get what you want. And you better get there early, because if you don't, when you round that corner, this whole aisle is empty. It wasn't so long ago. COVID came out. Walked in the aisle with the toilet paper, the paper towels, and all that.
Nothing.
You're right. Then you jump in the car and go to another store. You sound like Cornelius in that first room. Nothing. Frustrating.
Trust me, I've been there.
Oh, yeah. Frustrating.
We have.
Yes, we have.
Now I'm a hoarder.
There you go. You like a squirrel. Stop up. That's being smart, though.
Come to my house.
if we get to that point again, I'm going to call you. For sure. But it's a blessing to have transportation to get there and to still be able to walk, the ability to walk. For my huge heating bill. Because it means I'm warm. Well, you can ask my wife. We come in the house at night. We said, thank God it's warm in here. When it is cold, I said, last night was warm, as a matter of fact. Quite cold. But yeah, I don't mind paying a heating bill if I can walk in the house and it's warm. Like you say, your family, she's sitting around with shorts on, it's cold, or barefooted, and it's cold. I'm like that. I want to be comfortable. You know, if I got to pay to be comfortable, yeah, I pay. Let me be comfortable. And when it gets hot, I'm going to pay that bill so I can stay cool. You know, I want it. For the lady behind me in church that sings off key, because it means that I can hear. Thank God for being able to hear. But I just didn't want to hear it right then. You know, we don't think about it. Little things. Just little things that we experience every day. God's blessings, continuous blessings, that we just kind of take it for granted until it's not there. I couldn't imagine sitting in service and not being able to hear everybody sing. Yes.
So you reflect on what Brian kept saying. God answers your prayers according to his will and for his glory. We don't show any appreciation or thankfulness for what he gave us. Where is his glory?
Yeah. Yep. Hopefully this will help us to realize and to try to show a better effort of saying, thank you, Lord, for what I have. I try to say it every morning, thank you, Lord, for waking me up. Thank you for letting me be able to move. I had a friend of mine that he told me of his experience. He had a stroke. He said he woke up that morning and he went to try to get out of bed and he fell on the floor. I can't imagine what that felt like. Or even to wake up and just can't move. I have been in a state of sleep. And I've heard people say the devil was riding you. Y'all ever heard that saying? The devil was riding you. That's when you sleep, but you can hear everything that's going on. And you're trying to say something, you can't say nothing. Maybe y'all haven't ever experienced that before, but I have. And I'm trying to say, hey, hey, I can't move. Help me, help me. Mark Warwick, my mind is telling me that I'm saying this. And I can hear other things going on in the room. And I can't move. And after a while, I just kind of force myself. And I wake up. And I'm breathing all hard and everything. And I'm like, man, what happened? Oh, the devil was dragging you. That's an old folks saying. But I'm going to tell you, it's not a good feeling. It is not a good feeling. Because you are not in control. You think you're, well, you may not be completely asleep, or somebody else may tell you, oh, you were asleep. No, I heard what was going on, but I couldn't move. I was calling for you. Anyway, he said nothing. It's been a situation that has happened before. Not too often, but it has happened. But that's not a good feeling. For the power of laundry and ironing, because it means I have clothes to wear. Also means you got work to do too, but you got clothes to wear. And that's a good thing. Ever go to put on something you're looking for, you can't find it, and then when you do find it, it's in the dirty clothes. You know, it's like, I thought I had washed it. Damn, I can't wear that. I got to figure out something else to wear. If you had your heart set on wearing that one particular item, that's in the dirty clothes. But you still got it. You know, it's still a blessing, you know. For weariness and achy muscles at the end of the day, because it means I am employed and capable of working hard. Oh, I've experienced that one many times. I've always been the kind of guy that every job I've had pretty much has been a manual type job, you know, working, using my arms and legs and thank God I had a job. But it definitely wore me out. And a lot of times I was outside, so I had to dress up, you know, when it was cold, put on a couple extra layers. And then when it was hot, I took off. It was better when it was hot. Even though I was sweating and everything, it still was better. But at night, my back hurt. Feels so good later. It feels just feels good to be able to sit in. I'm so tired. I sit down and finish eating and I was like a light. Because I got to get up and go to work the next day, you know. But I was so very thankful when payday rolled around. Because then I had money to pay that high bill, you know, to pocket the buy in of the parking lot to be able to go to the store and to pay for whatever the children needed, you know, clothes and insurance at school and all that stuff.
Well, yeah. Let me share an unusual Thanksgiving. I shared with a couple of people before everybody came in here.
Mm-hmm.
I had a fellow working on my yard Wednesday. Had machinery out there, he's working all day, and he came in, finished the day up, came in to get paid, and I just was chatting with him a little bit. He was in his 50s. And I had a conversation with that, what you doing for Thanksgiving? And he just said, I don't know yet, since we don't have any kinfolk around right here, but my wife is making up all those plans, says, I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think too much about that until he left. It was on my mind then that you know, fellow doesn't have family right here. And I went back and looked at the way he gave me a bill and a guy's phone number, and I called him back for about an hour after he left. I said, hey, you said you didn't have any place to be able to excuse it. I said, I mean, coming over and joining me, you know, my family. He said, well, I don't know. He says, I haven't talked to my wife. He says, but you know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so he hung up, and about an hour later, he calls up and says, yes, we'll come up. Mm-hmm. And so they stop by my house, when he, John, my son's house now, that they thought it was going to be there. He says, I wonder how you're going to fit everybody in this house. And so we got to talk a little bit, and then something came up about Clearwater Pools. And he said, yeah, he said, it was on emergency crew, and I worked with a fellow that had an accident one time. It was a very serious accident. And I got to talk to him about it a little bit, and I kind of figured out it had to be Brian, his son, about 10 years ago. And that kind of made me. So now here, we went over there where Brian's mom and dad is, my daughter and his son-in-law, and his plus his brothers and sisters are there, and the rest of the family's there. And his wife told me, says, you know, I was reluctant to accept the invitation. I didn't know y'all, my husband didn't know y'all, so you, I don't know why we did it. I did it, but I said, we got nothing else to do, so we go over and have Thanksgiving done. But until the time he took him out of the car, Brian out of the car, he, by the way, had a 3-inch pipe through him, over to pay him the phone. He was just about dead.
Mm-hmm.
He said, he was so big, you know, a big boy. He said, we got someone to help with this. We're going to have trouble getting this guy out of the car. And then when they got him out of the car, plus he was in serious shape. But he was able to reconnect with his Brian's mom and dad, and of course his brothers and sisters and the rest of us,
mm-hmm.
and fill us in on what condition he was and what it was to get him to the hospital to be able to save him. It was an emotional feeling for everybody.
Right.
Here's a guy that actually saved his life.
Mm-hmm.
Because of this fellow here that Brian lived there. He told us he was in such bad shape he couldn't even get the machine so good they had to manually put air into it. All the way from here to the MCV over there to get him in there. And of course we got a word from, we were in Florida and they were in Honduras or something like that, and tell them it was critical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get home as quick as you could. And with the plane connection, you couldn't make it to the next day.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never seen a family so grateful for that fella and being there and sharing that story with him. And we all told him when he left there, he says, you may not have a family around here now, but you got a family.
Amen.
You got
Amen.
A family.
Yeah.
So we had a Thanksgiving to be able to get all the details and thank the person that literally saved Brian's life.
That's amazing. The sheer fact that y'all come together, was able to come together, that was nothing but God. You know, nothing but God. You know.
Yeah. Still don't understand, you know, how it all happened.
Yeah. God moves in mysterious ways. You know. And that's something that is priceless. You know, you can't put a price tag on that. You know. But he did what he did.
Made for a nice Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It really did. Tom and my dad had a chance to share that with us over there, so they got to experience the feeling. It was a very emotional time.
I imagine. It was good. Okay. And got a couple more, and then we're going to, the lesson will be yours, or this discussion will be yours. For the alarm that goes off in the early morning hours, because it means that I am alive. Clock goes off 4:30. You got somewhere you got to go. You got to be somewhere. The clock go off. My wife said it this morning. That time came quick, didn't it? It always does. the last few half hour or so, before time for you to get up, it always comes quick. And it's the best time. For too much email, because it means that I have friends who are thinking of me. You say you beg the difference?
That's spam.
That's spam. But they're sending you something, and they are thinking about you. They want you to do something, respond. And if it wasn't you, it'd be me. But they are sending you something. And finally, for God of heaven, who cares not only for me, but for all mankind. God is great. And all the time, He looks out for us, and He provides for us. In Acts chapter 17, verses 24 and 28, Paul made acknowledgement to the Athenians, the people of Athens. They wanted to make sure they covered all of the gods. They worship polytheism. I think I said it right. And idolatry. For fear of not worshiping the right God or not making the gods angry with them, they wanted to worship all the gods. But Paul let them know there's only one God. And he showed them and tried to convince them that all that you all are worshiping is not the right God. There's only one. What he made, what he does, that's who you should be worshiping. God cares about all mankind, even those that was trying to worship all those many gods. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 19, the generosity that is repaid by God. When they sent Paul funds out of their poverty, and he told them that God was going to bless you. I used to remember older people when I was coming up. We used to go around and cut wood for older ladies that didn't have a husband or whatnot, but you know, it was a way to make a little extra change, but, you know, you go around and you bust wood and you stack it up on their back porch inside the house for them and stuff. Little chores. And many times, little old ladies will tell you, God's going to bless you. God's going to bless you. I've heard that so many times. Now that I'm older, I understand God's going to bless you. And He will. He's already blessed me to come from that age to be where I am today with all the stuff that I've been through. I'm standing here before y'all today. So I know that God will bless you. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God's promise is not slack. What He says He's going to do, He's going to do. And you can put your trust in Him, because He will answer your prayer. Yes.
You think about where we're at in the world today, and we get so frustrated. But just think, if God didn't do what He did, we'd already be past Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't have Christians in this world today.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have people who believe that because of that great sacrifice, that we have the ability, like you said earlier, to complain.
Oh, yeah. And He doesn't retaliate like He, or the way He has done with some we have read about in His word. They complain and grumble, those Israelites, you know, traveling, never satisfied. Aren't we like that today still?
Yes.
Never too comfortable. It's always too hot or too cold, too wet, too dry. Yes.
I was just going to say, you know, it doesn't matter what situation we find ourselves in. whether in want or in plenty, there should never be a time that we cannot say, my cup runneth over.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you stop and consider to want to thank God for all the blessings in your life, which begins with the first breath you ever took, and it will last through the last breath you will ever take.
Mm-hmm.
You are constantly blessed by God. So there is no reason to not say, my cup runneth over.
That's true.
With all the blessings you give me.
That's true. Well, this is my lesson for this morning. Hopefully we can use this and be disciples and take it out and help others to see the blessings of God and what He does. Those little things that we just pass over, we can help others to see God is always there. Thank you all.